Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're going to have Chris Canty here in a few minutes on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear.
I'm just laughing at Key. I can't. Because people can't see it, but just Key's dance moves and coming in the break. I can't. Go ahead, Max.
Well, that's the music, though.
Yeah, that's how the music makes you vibe.
The music makes me vibe.
Yeah.
College football is heating up. Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward. Whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us. Goodyear more driven.
Jay, when you've been booed as a player, how does it make you feel?
I love it. Ain't nothing better.
How about when you know you're getting ready to lose and they say overrated? How did that make you feel?
Not great, but I start talking trash back to them anyway. I'm going to see y'all again. That's where I go with it.
You didn't cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Okay.
Why, did you cry?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah, I cried. Because we was really good. And we just – the year I was called overrated, we played Notre Dame. That's in South Bend. And going into that game, we were preseason ranked number one, the whole deal. We were undefeated. I think we were like maybe 6-0 or something like that. But we had about seven players – of course, USC. We had about seven players suspended for a number of games due to – some things that they probably shouldn't have been doing at the point in time. The NC2A kind of did us in. And we went into Notre Dame shorthanded, and Mark Edwards and Ron Paulus got a hold of us. And I was telling Yates, or during the break, I was telling Yates, the only time I've been called overrated in a stadium full of people is when we played Notre Dame, and that overrated. And you out there playing your hardest, and you just fighting, and you just know you balling. And it's like, damn, man, we getting ready to lose. It's over. These blanks just beat us. Oh, man.
See, it's so just different in football, Key, because in basketball, when I got called overrated by Maryland fans, we saw Maryland two other times that year.
No, we couldn't do nothing.
I know,
the NC2A didn't come in and do what they did to us that year with the suspensions of, I think we lost seven starters.
Seven starters?
Yeah, seven starters. Man, they was, getting that money, man. You know how it go. And we lost seven starters that year, my senior year. And we wound up losing to Notre Dame, who was, I think at the time, it was at the bottom top 25, and we was highly ranked rolling in, and we were picked to win the national title that year. And it just went south.
See, if that were to happen today, you guys would be fine because it's called NIL.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Corey.
You're allowed to get your bag now.
When you said you cried, you asked Jay if he cried. You said you did. Where does that happen?
Yeah,
locker room.
No, you're crying on the sideline because you're mad. You want to fight. And you're crying. Then, the coach is going to come up to you. You know how that go, Jay.
Put the arm around you. It's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right. It's like, man, ain't going to be all right. The hell you talking about?
Lies, 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 and more lies.
Oh, it's going to be all right. You fine. You'll come back here and play next year, not me.
They want to ask you. Yeah, they want to ask you questions. And as much as I hate Notre Dame, too, I despise them.
See, Keto, I don't like them. I always had a hard time at those post-game pressers where, the media ask you really dumb questions like, so, how does it feel right now? How do you think it feels? What do you mean, how does it feel? We just got our tails whipped.
What would you ask, Jay, now if you approached an athlete and your job was to – people want in, right? They want to know what they're experiencing. They just want to feel something. So what would you ask someone in your position as a member of the media now that's a better question than how does it feel right now?
I wouldn't even ask how. Like, I would say, I know for me that when I was in that situation, this is how I felt.
Yeah, but the media member who's doing the asking sometimes doesn't know.
That's why I don't have media on any of my badges. I won't be put in that position. But see, at all, Jay Will.
Let me ask you.
So let's say I lose my last game to Indiana. I miss a free throw at the end to tie the game. I lose. I see Keyshawn Johnson in the post presser, and he's there, and he says, when I lost my last game, it made me feel like that. He wouldn't even have to ask me a question. I would be like, yeah, man.
But that's not from the audience's perspective, and really people are doing this in service of the people watching, right? From their perspective, you just affirming what someone else says, hey, it made me feel like this.
But you don't know where I'm going to go off of it, though. It just, that connection, like I see Key, Key recognizes, like, he feels what I feel to a degree. But that that allows me to open up.
So you're suggesting
a question in a real way instead of me just being like, yeah, you know, I
so your recommendation would be to put former athletes in the role of asking the question?
Oh, I'm not saying. I'm just saying as a former athlete, I'm in tune with how athletes feel.
I hear you, Jay, 100%. Hey, Chris Canty, what's up, buddy? Let me ask you a question, man. Have you ever been booed, like, to a point where you're, like, just booed, whether it's college or pros, to the point where you're like, man, I can't wait to get up in the stands?
Well, Key, I played in the NFC East 8 out of my 11 years in the National Football League, so you already know what time it is. I mean, I used to get booed in our home stadium at MetLife when I was playing with the Giants. I mean, that's just par for the course, though. It's something that comes along with the territory of being a professional athlete. And if you like the direct deposit that hits on Tuesday, then you just come to accept that that's going to come along with it when you don't perform up to the expectations that the fan base put on you.
CeCe, you ever talk back to the crowd, though?
Oh, yeah. That doesn't mean that we can't give it back and forth a little bit. I mean, there's an interaction to a point, especially if you end up on the winning side of things. Now, if you lose, the best thing you can do is keep your helmet on and run through the tunnel to get to the locker room. But if you win, you can josh a little bit back and forth with the crowd. That used to be one of my favorite things to do at the Link when we go down and play the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, when we won those games, which wasn't as often as we would like that was one of those opportunities that you would let the Eagles fans know it. So, I mean, that's one of those things as a professional athlete you love to do.
Did you ever cry after a loss?
No, I never cried after a loss, because at the end of it, it's only entertainment, man. It's only entertainment. Even though we invest so much in it, you got to have some awareness about it, and it's an entertainment product. So you want to win as much as you can, because that leads to you getting paid a whole lot of money. But if that doesn't work out that way, you still understand that this is a job, and your job is to entertain.
So in other words, you didn't cry last night after the game that the Giants – made so many stupid mistakes and wind up letting Kansas City win that game. So you didn't cry?
No, I didn't cry at all, because that's something that I've come to expect with the Giants led by Dave Gettleman, Keith. Like, this has been going on since the end of 2017. So, I mean, I feel like I'm numb to it at this point. But the reality is that the program is at a crossroads, and they got to change some things. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, Dave Gettleman, the ingredients that he's brought in, but also – you know, being able to orchestrate it, the coaching staff, Joe Judge, Jason Garrett. I mean, I don't understand how a coach that could be so hot on discipline can have a team that was penalized as much as the Giants were yesterday. I mean, we talk about the Kansas City penalties, but the Giants were penalized yesterday, too, to the tune of, what is it, Key, 10 penalties for 88 yards, including the one with O'Shane Jimenez where he jumps off sides and he costs the Giants an opportunity for a turnover from Darnay Holmes when he gets that pick. So, I mean, that's one of those things that we're saying, okay, that could be the difference in the outcome of the game. So I don't understand it, Key. I try to give Joe Judge and his staff some time to kind of get things fixed, because the team was in such disrepair when they took over, but it doesn't feel like they're moving forward. It feels like they're regressing, and that's a problem.
Chris Canty, Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. CeCe, I'm glad we got all the Giants stuff out of the way, because now it's time for the real question I wanted to ask you. How many levels are there to this, actually?
There's a whole lot of levels to it, Jay. There's a whole lot of levels. But one thing I will say, and I know we're going back to the conversation that Key and I had about the New Orleans Saints, the back and forth.
Well, we actually didn't have a conversation, but you go ahead.
Yes, you guys are talking through multiple shows.
We had separate conversations. You had your conversation reacting to what I had to say about what you initially said about the Saints. And I'm sitting here looking at your show this morning, and I'm seeing Key's Real Rankings. And Key's Real Rankings don't have the New Orleans Saints as a top three seed in the NFC. Now, maybe that's because of the Jameis Winston news and how that potentially changes things for the outlook of New Orleans. But ultimately, what I'll say is this. I did my rankings. The top five teams in the NFL are all teams from the NFC, and none of them are the New Orleans Saints. Now, do I fully expect the New Orleans Saints to be a playoff team? I absolutely do. But I don't think that the New Orleans Saints are going to win the NFC South. And I'll also tell Key this. We got a lot of football left to play, and Key also knows that on any given Sunday, there's a team that can show up, that can give you some problems, that can beat you. And I feel like that's what happened in New Orleans. at Caesars Superdome. That game, to me, credit to New Orleans defense because they played their tails off, but there were a lot of miscues that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had that they typically don't, and I don't expect that they'll play like that for the rest of the season.
Well, here's what I would say, Chris. You are right in terms of the top five ranking. New Orleans, without Jameis Winston in there, I don't know who's playing quarterback, so I'm going to sit tight on that sort of – I'm pushing pause right now on where they're at until they figure out their quarterback situation. Now, in terms of winning the NFC South and getting a top three seed, all they got to do is win their division. They won the division last year, even though it was a pandemic year, they still played football. They won the division. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers three straight times thus far in the regular season, including two last year and one again this year. Now, that could potentially change depending on who's at quarterback. But I would say this, their defense is playing pretty good football under Dennis Allen. They're missing one of the top flight receivers in the National Football League that'll be coming back at some point in time, healthy, not sprained ankles. They got a coach that if he was to step down as the Saints coach tomorrow, the tarmac would be full of owners trying to pay for his services. So with all that being said, you don't have them in your top five, and I can understand that. I get it, but you cannot not say that they are not in the mix with everybody else. There's no way. Record speaks for itself. No matter how you look at style points, you say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has some miscues. Well, hell, how do you think, and you smart, you know, you played this game, how you think you had those miscues? It's because we did our job to force you to make those mistakes you made.
Well, Key, here's what I'll say. I mean, we've got five teams in the NFC that have six wins or more, and the New Orleans Saints ain't one of them. So now you can
say New Orleans has played, but you got to remember.
No, I know. I get seven games. I understand that they've only played seven games. They had an earlier bye, but you just said you are what your record says you are. And right now, even though the New Orleans Saints did beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who happened to be the front runner in the NFC South, they are still not leading their division right now. And what I will say is this.
How you going to lead the division when one team play more games than you?
But, Key, what I will say is this. They got nine games to go, and they still got another matchup that they got to play down in Tampa. So we'll see how that game goes. But ultimately, you know this, Key. There are certain teams.
And they crushed the Tampa Bay Bucs in Tampa last year, but you want to point to going back to Tampa with no quarterback. Man, you don't stop.
Key. Who was their quarterback last year when they went down to Tampa and do that? Who was their quarterback?
They just beat the dude. They just beat him at home last week. They beat a better team last week at home with a backup quarterback in Trevor Siemian. Come on now, Chris.
Key, what I would say is this. For the defense that Dennis Allen threw at Tom Brady, when you don't have deep speed, when you don't have an Antonio Brown that can threaten the middle of that cover two man that Dennis Allen was featuring, that could present some problems. And you saw that those guys in the secondary were sitting on certain routes for Tom Brady, including the one that P.J. Williams made the house call for at the end of the game to seal it. So what I'll say is this. I'm not taking anything away from the performance that the New Orleans Saints had. But what my eyes tell me is that is an outlier performance for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season, and I don't anticipate that's who they're going to be moving forward. They got a bye week to get all of that stuff cleaned up, especially the penalties, and I actually think that loss could end up helping Tampa Bay in that way because they came into that game with the most penalty yardage in the National Football League, and Bruce Arians was clear about that. That's something that they got to get cleaned up because when you play against teams that are as fundamentally sound as the New Orleans Saints, especially with their defense, their offensive line, and their running game, that's when being complacent can catch up with you. I don't think that that game was all about the New Orleans Saints being as dominant. I think that's a game where they caught the Tampa Bay Buccaneers slipping because Tampa Bay was complacent. That is my story about what happened Sunday.
Well, you better stick to that story.
And that's why that's reflected in my rankings the way that I have them. I still don't see New Orleans as a top three seed in the NFC, and I feel like that will bear itself out throughout the course of the season. We'll see what happens, Keith. That's the beautiful thing about football. It'll all play out, and one of us is going to be proven right. Listen, you could be right. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. and we get a chance to find that out.
Chris Canty, co-host of Canty and Golic Jr., joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I almost said Zubin. Oh, gosh. What does Von Miller do for the Rams, buddy?
Oh, man, I think it frees up Aaron Donald in terms of the amount of time that he spends being double-teamed. Like, that's the biggest thing that I think of. Like, Aaron Donald, I think he's top three or four in double-team rate in the National Football League. So being able to get Von Miller to go alongside Leonard Floyd and AD up front, I think that gives AD more opportunities for one-on-ones, more opportunities to go to work. And that's going to be scary for that Rams defense in terms of what they can do with the front and coverage being able to work together in the passing game. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. And being able to get Von Miller and then getting the Denver Broncos to pick up $9 million of his $9.7 million salary this year, like that's huge because it helps with the Rams in terms of their salary cap situation this season, being able to add a piece like that. So I think this is Les Snead going all in on this year, Sean McVay, them continuing to double down. We saw it with the Matt Stafford move. This is just another move to support that decision to go all in with this team.
So then, CeCe, who would you say? Go ahead, Max.
No, I was just going to say, talking to Chris Canty, co-host of Canty and Golic Jr. here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to ask you, CeCe, who do you think is the best team in the NFC between Green Bay, the Cowboys, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Rams? Who's your choice for number one right now?
Well, I got the Cowboys number one, and I got to keep them there because even without Dak Prescott, they were able to go into Minnesota and beat the Vikings with Cooper Rush, and I just thought that that was a complete performance, and you saw that this is a team whose defense can step up and win the day for them when need be, and you couple that with having the most explosive offense in the NFL when Dak is healthy, like there's a lot to like with that Cowboys team. Couple of injuries that concern me, Tyron Smith, and of course Dak's calf, being on that same leg as that surgically repaired ankle. Like, those are things that you have to look at moving forward. But if this team is healthy, then to me they're the best team in the NFC, and I would follow them with having the who is it that I had in my records? I would follow them with having the Rams as the second best team in the NFC. Then I've got the Green Bay Packers, the Cardinals, and then we round that group out with Arizona. So that, I mean, what is it? The Green
with the Rams. Well, you got the Rams, Cowboys, Rams,
the Rams, the Packers, Chris. The Rams, the Packers, the Cards, and then Tampa Bay. Excuse me,
Chris. We were.
That's how I round out the top five.
Chris, we were talking earlier in the show about confidence in certain teams. For example, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys are loaded, and they have Dak Prescott. I think the Rams are one. But there is a sense, I think, whether people acknowledge it or not, that Matt Stafford, we don't know. He's talented, but we don't know. Is he 0-3 in the playoffs because he's with the Lions? Or is he 0-3 in the playoffs because there's something with him, right? We're going to find that out this year. Where are you on Matt Stafford and what that means for L.A.?
I'm in on Matt Stafford, Max. I think that he's shown us through what he's done early on this season that, you know, he's a legitimate quarterback and that the issues – and the lack of postseason success in Detroit has more to do with the state of that franchise than it does him and his ability to be able to lead a team. You still want to see it, and until he does, you're not going to have confidence that he's capable of it. But what I will say is this is a great opportunity for him because he's got everything in place for him to have success. He's got the offensive line. They've got the weapons in the skill position core. They've got the defense to be able to support it. Like, there aren't any excuses for Matt Stafford as to why he can't get it done. So, if the Rams get ousted early in the playoffs, everybody's going to be pointing to Matt Stafford front and center. That's going to be on him. That's not going to be on anybody else.
Hey, Chris, so the trade deadline is coming up in a few hours. I think it's probably like 6.5 hours or something like that. I don't really care about the actual clock, but it is today. Mm-hmm. What should Cleveland do with OBJ, man? Should they move on from him or should they just like try to figure out how to continue to work with him to implement him in the offense so he could help them win? Because otherwise, they can be on the outside looking in terms of the playoffs.
No, they could be, Keith. And that's the scary thing about it because you've got three other teams that are live dogs when it comes to the AFC playoff picture. I think Cleveland is at a crossroads and they have to be honest with themselves in terms of what they can expect in the way of quarterback play for the rest of the way because it's clear – that Baker Mayfield is not as you know, is not capable of making the plays that we saw him make last year in Kevin Stefanski's offense. Now, that's not to say that the loss against Pittsburgh this past Sunday was all on him, because certainly there are members of that supporting cast that played a role. The Jarvis Landry fumble is one of them. And then, Key, you got to help me out with this one, because I thought that throw to OBJ in the red zone, that's one of those that OBJ might have made a business decision on. Not to say that the ball was accurate. It was some inaccuracies, but I feel like that's one of those plays that your prime-time players have to go up and make for your quarterback, especially knowing what Baker Mayfield is dealing with. So, to me, I think Cleveland has got to take a long, hard look at themselves and be honest with themselves about the outlook of the rest of the season, especially when you factor in the Baker Mayfield injury. So, I think this could be a situation where they consider selling at the deadline, but because things are so closely contested in that division, I don't anticipate their GM, Andrew Berry, doing that.
Yeah, the seam route up the seam was, I mean, somebody like me, that's an easy routine catch for me. OBJ is so much smaller than me, Canty, that it's slightly thrown not to protect him. The safety was coming over when he's coming on that deep crosser. You got to make sure to keep him away from the backside safety and keep him closer to the frontside safety. And Baker led him too far across the field, and he was late with the throw. I understand what you're saying, but if I am OBJ in that particular situation coming off an ACL, it's like, well, wait a minute, man, you late with the ball. Now you're getting ready to get my head knocked off.
Thank you. Hey, Chris Canty on the Goodyear Hotline. Appreciate you jumping on with us, Chris.
Thanks,
you're still
DC.
Wrong about the same
Absolutely,
stuff.
Guys. Appreciate you guys having me.
That's Chris Canty, ladies and gentlemen. Canty and Golic Jr., one AFC team on a roll and ready to make a playoff run.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN, Radio Sirius, XM Channel 80, we have Patriots running back Damian Harris. What's going on, Damian? Good
What's
to up, have D? You.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
What's and up, D?
Yep, I'm good. You guys good?
All man, good. You know how it is. We got... I'm out here in Cali, and they in back east, but I'm getting ready to join them all. So everything seemed to be good. Are you good, though, coming off that big win on the road against the Chargers?
Yeah, everything's good. Definitely a great win this weekend. It's a game we knew we needed. We knew if we prepared the right way last week during practice, we played our best football, we knew we'd have a chance to win. So that's what we did.
You guys are still talked about. How much of you guys still talked about the wide open playoff hunt in the East? You know, in spite of the slow start.
I mean, we like to focus more on just, you know, the next week, and you know, we want to stay in the now, stay in the present. We know we can't control what happened in the past, and we don't want to look too far ahead of ourselves. You know, we just want to show up every single day, ready to work, and you know, get ready for whatever challenges we have that week. We know there's an opportunity. Obviously, we want to make the most of it, but you know, it just starts one week at a time. You know, handling our business each and every Saturday or Sunday. Excuse me,
Damian. I was going to say, as a young player in the NFL, and obviously having a young quarterback in the NFL too, what is your relationship like with Mac, and how have you guys both grown in your roles?
It's great. You know, everybody knows me and Mac have a great relationship. We've been boys since our days at Alabama. So, you know, obviously we got great chemistry, but you know, both being at this level and, you know, I think we both improved tremendously as players. And, you know, I think that whenever we play our best football individually, collectively as a team, you know, as an offense, we really give ourselves a chance to win. So it's been great seeing Mac do his thing. Everybody knows he's been playing really well. And, you know, he does a lot of great things for us. And, you know, we love having him back there. So everything's been it's been good so far, but we got a lot of work to do.
Damon Harris, Patriots running back, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Damon, you had the opportunity, rare opportunity, to play not only for, I would say, probably arguably the best coach. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry about that, man. My producer jumped in my ear. I thought he was saying something. But you had the rare opportunity to play both for Nick Saban as well as Bill Belichick, two of the greatest coaches, one in the pros and one in college. How are they different? I kind of know them both, but I want to hear from you, who's played for both of them. How are they different?
I mean, it's hard to say without going into too much detail, but, you know, they both have their similarities and they have their differences. But, you know, like you said, those are two of the greatest coaches to ever coach this game. So being fortunate enough to have that opportunity to play for both of them, it's been huge for me as a player, as a person. You know, can't really say enough about those two guys and how great it's been to play for both of them. So incredibly thankful for that opportunity I've had. And, you know, I think I'm definitely better off being able to play for those two guys.
Damien, how are they alike and how are they different?
I mean, they both just obviously run a tight ship. You know, they value their, you know, organization, their programs off of having tough, smart, dependable football players that, you know, go out there and play their best football. You know, it's kind of how they're similar. I don't really, they not too many differences. You know, I know they grew up or they came up being friends. So I think that a lot of those things are kind of, they share a lot of those same things. But there's a couple differences here and there.
How would you say, well, first of all, you talk about you and Mac and the relationship and all that. What's he like in the, you know, around the facility, in the locker room, on the field? What's it like playing with him?
Oh, he's cool. Obviously, there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to be serious. There's a time where we kind of let loose and joke around a little bit and have fun and still enjoy this game that we're playing. You know, so you get a little bit of both. But whenever it's time to lock in, you know, he's got laser focus and he's all about doing his job and doing whatever it takes to help us be a successful offense. So you really get the best of both worlds with him.
Hey, Damon, you're one of your Alabama alums, and Derrick Henry, you know, went down last week and he'll miss some time with the Tennessee Titans. How tough was it to see exactly, or hear, better yet, exactly what happened to one of the top two or three running backs in the league?
Yeah, it definitely sucked. You know, hearing that coming out of our game, that was a tough one to hear. Derek's obviously been a tremendous player in this league for, you know, however long, and our relationship goes back to college as well. So, you know, hearing that happened, it was definitely unfortunate. But, you know, I know Derek, and I know the kind of guy that he is. So I know he's only going to come back stronger. And, you know, this will be a small stepping stone on, you know, his further track to greatness. So, you know, wishing him all the best. And, you know, like I said, I know DeHen will come back stronger than ever.
That is Damien Harris on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, Damien.
Thanks, D.
So I appreciate you guys.
Brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. So the college football rankings are out tonight.
Mm.
And we're going to get into it. By the way, we have Mario Cristobal, Oregon.
Yay!
Coming right up here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. You can chime in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-729-3776. Mario Cristobal, Oregon football head football coach, is on the line. Coach, welcome to the show. Thanks for jumping on with us. How are you and the team going to be watching tonight's rankings reveal on ESPN?
Oh, we'll be tied up in meetings, man. Number one, good morning. Thanks for having me. But, yeah, to answer your question, we're focused on what we're doing, man. I think the entire country is, from a football standpoint now, for the fans and everything surrounding it, I think it obviously it's a pretty significant deal. But for us, business.
Well, that explains everything then. That explains why you won't pick up your damn phone when I'm calling. I can't even get a call back or nothing, Coach. Come on now.
You know what? If you call my family back home, you know, in South Florida, they'll tell you the same thing. So I apologize, but I'll make it up to you with a tremendous Cuban meal this offseason.
No,
okay?
I know.
Don't worry, coaches, because you already got the best job in the conference. We understand.
Hey, don't fall for the okie doke trap. This is a dude that thinks he's smarter than everybody from Duke. But anyway, if you were watching and it didn't go the way you wanted it to go like a year or two ago, what would your pitch be to the committee if you had to have a conversation with them?
I think pitches are words, man, and I think proclamations in this day and age are nowhere near as significant as action. So I think it's all going to be about how people play. It really is, you know, and I don't think it's ever ended like it started. I could be wrong there. Maybe I don't study it enough, but I swear, I think with as crazy as college football has become, the amount of parity, the amount of just insane, just upsets and games that just go a different way. If everyone is not focused on what they're supposed to do, it's going to be wackier than ever. So for us, it's every ounce into the 1-0 process, and the rest will take care of itself.
Coach, out of all the teams that have one loss, do you believe that you guys have the best win that you guys got against the Buckeyes in Ohio State?
Well, I think everybody feels the same way. But, again, that's already in the rearview mirror for us, brother. Everything is focused on this week's game. So, and I know the show's about talking about tonight, the CFP rankings, but I'm going to be the most boring interview you've ever had, ever.
No, I'm going to lighten you up. I'm going to lighten you up, Coach. You're going to have to loosen up for us now. We know you all about the X's and O's. We get it, but at the end of the day, it is important to know that Oregon wants to be and you want to be in that conversation at the end of the year, and you've got games to still go. And when you look at teams, you took care of business against Ohio State. Do you believe you guys have the best win of the year so far in the one loss column in going into Columbus and taking care of business against the Buckeyes, considering that they've been rolling ever since?
No, I believe you have me on the show because we are in the conversation, and for you to keep having me on the show in the future, we got to keep being part of the conversation. That means we got to keep focus on our 1-0. So there you go, buddy.
To the point. What do you make, Coach, if I may, talking to Mario Cristobal, Oregon football head coach, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, what do you make, if I may be so bold as to ask the question, Coach, of Washington coach Jimmy Lake saying yesterday that they don't battle in recruiting with Oregon because, and this is a quote, the schools that we go against have academic prowess like Notre Dame and Stanford. Floor is yours, Coach.
My take is we're focused on our game on Saturday.
I mean, that's the answer. That's the type of answer that Key gives when he shows you the way coaches are supposed to answer questions at post-game pressers.
Mario, let me ask you this because, you know, I'm around Coach K all the time, and he's very direct in a lot of his questions, too. How do you constantly stay focused, and how do you constantly keep your players focused from all these distractions, from social media, from quotes like we just mentioned? What's the strategy and how to keep them aligned so they can have the best season possible?
Well, then the first thing you got to do, you got to be real. And being real is acknowledging what the noise is. Like, put it on the table. You know, put it front and center. All right, this is what you're hearing. This is what's going to be in your face when you leave practice and you try to get on your phone to call mom. It's going to pop up on your screen. This is the noise. Now, let's now shift our focus to what the reality is. The noise that comes with, I guess, the positive side of stuff, it is a byproduct of you taking care of your business. And if you don't take care of your business, you know what the noise is going to be next week? The complete opposite. So to call it what it is, the noise, the surrounding media, the hype, the nonsense, the BS, it will never, ever, ever have anything to do with the result on Saturday. So that being said, all focus, every ounce poured and invested into our processes to get our desired result. I really do believe with the amount of, think about it, man, just the overstimuli of this day and age, right, with social media, I mean, instantaneous information. I don't think there's any time. I don't think there's enough kilobytes in the human brain to focus on anything else except the task at hand. And our players believe that. That's what we do. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, brother. That's it.
Yeah, multitasking is a myth. You can do one thing at a time. That's true.
No, understood. I mean, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's a myth, but the thing is, multitasking nowadays, they want you to, you know, multitask 400 different things. I mean, what I know relates to everything. I mean, it's talking about, like, our meeting coming up here in about 20 minutes. It's going to be about the walkthrough coming up after that. It's going to be about, you know, our pre-practice flex and stretch. I mean, every bit of it is, it's a cumulative effect of doing things the right way. So, I mean, you know where I played and who I coach with and all that stuff. So there's a combination of everything in what we do here at Oregon, and that's what works for us. So that's what we're going to stick to.
Are you having fun, Coach? Are you excited about just, are you having fun? Are you so locked in that you don't have time to just breathe a little bit?
I don't even understand what that means. I don't fathom this is like a way of life. This is a vocation for us. This isn't a job, like a living doctor of this stuff. I've been blessed with an unbelievable, you know, set of parents, dad, may he rest in peace, but that just knew how to grind and just preach grinding and getting after it, doing things the right way. And, you know, there's doing things the right way in South Florida is no different than doing things the right way out here in the Pacific Northwest. You just grind, you go, you do right by people. And so I love this stuff, man. You know, and it takes up every minute of your day and every ounce of your existence, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, you know, because you coach with Coach Saban, you played at UM, and it's so intense, and it's just now you're at Oregon, you got that program going in the right direction. And, you know, sometimes we can get, as a former professional athlete who's been locked into it as well, sometimes we just get so bogged into it that we don't get a chance to enjoy the great ride of winning games and things of that nature that we've been, you know, been fortunate enough to be a part of. That's why I asked you that question.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I think some people, I don't know. I know that I truly enjoy and love the competitive aspect and the ability to do that every single week. And I love the preparation. I love the process of preparing, of just diving into game planning, technique, fundamentals, details, and finding ways to get our guys a chance at having their best success. So I do, man. I'm as lucky as it gets, man. I'm really blessed.
Mario, as they say, you can't turn that light switch on and off. It has to stay on all the time. We got about 40 seconds, but I wanted to ask you about one of the best players that you ever coached. How impressed have you been to the start of the year? I mean, he had an incredible year last year, but just Justin Herbert's short career in the NFL thus far.
Yeah, you know, it was something we talked about here all the time. We always felt he was the best in the country. I mean, this is a guy that people forget about this. When he got here, Oregon was 4-8, okay? And then a couple years later, 12-2, number 5 in the country, Rose Bowl champs, Pac-12 champs. and while building up his supporting cast along the way, throwing 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions a year. I mean, this guy really did it all, and I don't think he ever got enough credit, but I'm glad now he's getting the credit that he's due. He's kicking butt, and we love seeing him.
That's Mario Cristobal, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks for joining us this morning, Coach, and good luck going forward.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate you guys. God bless, Chris, man. Go Ducks.
Key, he answered that question about a shot taken by another coach the way you sometimes do. Hey, why don't coaches just sound like this at the post-game press conference? Didn't get anywhere near it, didn't step in it. Next, on to the next.
Yeah, it just, you know, man, you – Jimmy Lake has his own issues with Washington. If I was him, I'd worry about winning games instead of worried about trying to figure out how to get kids into school when every other coach that's ever coached at UW got guys.
They're giving me a countdown, Key. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We'll see you tomorrow morning, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.